This is a Deese World production in association with Pants Pending Studios.
Hi, I'm Ash.
Hi, I'm Steven.
I write fan fiction.
I'm a podcaster and a comedian, and neither of us
have seen a lot of movies, so we decided to get caught up
on our catalog of movies, and while talking about it,
I decided that we should podcast all of it.
And now, 2 years later, we're still at it.
And we're kind of a little bit more professional than ever. He wants to touch the...
Hiney.
Bryan Cranston, the one that knocks,
that is...
and the one that sends the Power Rangers have to go touch things.
He wants to get vertical on the limbo shack.
What the...
She is your soulmate because the Lord has told me...
What? What? He wants to jump through that tent and into the canyon and fly away while holding a ketchup bottle. I don't know how it works.
He wants to Left Eye Lopez for Destiny's Child.
So join us every Monday on iTunes, Stitcher,
or here on the Pants Pending Studios podcast network,
which you can find at
pantspending.com.
You're now listening to The Social Hour.
They're not PC, so if occasional foul language turns you off, then you have all been warned. This is the calm before the storm.
Drunk Trouz is stoked.
Get ready for The Social Hour.
Keen, everyone, welcome to the show. This is the Social Hour. We are here live in beautiful Spokane Valley, Washington at One Tree Hard Cider,
whoop, whoop.
Our first ever cidery. Sitting here with Trouz Swartout,
hello,
filling in for Monica. He dyed his hair blonde, looking beautiful over there. And
frosted
the,
tips.
The owner of
One, you guys are killing
Tree.
Me.
Yeah, and the owner of One Tree Hard Cider, Grant
hello.
Barnes.
Hello.
This is an interview like 2 years in the making. We have. I talked to Grant probably not long after they first opened about trying to get out here and talk with them. And just as it goes, his life, my life, everything kind of it just didn't have time. And now. We are finally here enjoying his great cider. I mean, I've had it. I just have never had it from the source. They've got like a apple tree just crack open and just sup from the roots of the apple tree.
Drink the sweet nectar.
Yeah. So we appreciate you having us out.
You're welcome.
And especially juggling us around considering you have a new newborn baby.
We do. Yeah. The alcohol industry and owning a company is not exactly great for having children. No one gave me that memo. So
the alcohol industry is the cause of a lot of children.
It is.
That's
yeah.
Right. There are one too many out there because of that.
Please don't tell my wife we own one.
A child?
No. The alcohol company.
Got it. Okay. Yeah.
She'll want more.
Oh, more children.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell her you'll have an extra child for every alcohol company you own. So one more child. But we're gonna talk to Grant here and also drink some of their ciders and talk about kind of what they are. I see a beautiful array of different ones in front of you. So I'm excited. I like that red one there too. That one's looking.
It's pretty.
Mighty fine.
That's the Huckleberry.
Ooh, nice.
So before we do, we're already drinking on his cans of their.
This is actually so you originally had, 2 years ago, our semi-sweet.
Okay.
This is like the green label and a bottle and stuff like that. And this is kind of like the original recipe. We had, we did a green apple press and then we had semi-sweet, which was really sweet. And we've kind of pulled these two recipes together. And now this makes crisp apple.
Just one.
So, yeah, it's this bastardized version of the original recipe and the new recipe, and it's, ran into being one.
Am I reading this right? 6.8 ABV?
Yeah.
Yeah,
you guys, we won't be able to complete this interview soon.
Yeah, so let's just jump right into it. I mean, one of the benefits we have, too, is Trouz, I guess, has known Grant for a long time, I guess, going back to junior high school. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Grant was one of the first people I met in junior high when I moved out to the Valley. Met through a mutual friend that lived in my apartment complex, Drew.
Drew.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound
good.
He's
probably listening to it right now going, motherfuckers.
Yeah, those
they're talking about me.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah.
He's just continuing the hit list. Just
right away. Yeah, just right away meeting Grant Barnes. He was one of the coolest people I've met and one of my lifelong greatest friends. Nice. We also went to high school together. And we definitely kicked it tough in high school and got into some wild stuff.
Yeah.
Honestly, one of my favorite memories is this whole cidery house is so exciting because we went kayaking one summer.
That's right. Yeah.
And you were with Jen and you were like, you know, we were just out there paddling. You know, I just had my birthday and Jen bought me this brewery kit. Uh-huh. And I was like, oh, sweet, man. Like, have me over, have some beers, you know? And it's like, right. Now here we are, One Tree Cider. Yeah. Having some beers. Cheers Mecca. To you.
Do you remember when we were coming back and I was like so done? Because they had to give me a paddleboard because the kayak is like only for like children, basically, that I got. Right. People were normal-sized human beings. Yeah. And they put me in the kayak and it just sunk.
Right. Yeah. We had to go back to the base camp.
Gave you the bad one.
Yeah. So that I had a like stand-up paddleboard before stand-up paddling was cool.
Straight up, yeah.
Right.
You're sitting on it like a kayak.
I was, yeah. It's crazy.
So tell us what, I mean, because Traz told me that story, how you got a brewery kit and ended up making cider. How did you go from, I mean, were you decided to start home brewing and you were doing beer first? Or did you go straight to cider?
So my wife, I mean, it was like Father's Day. We just had Parker, our original son. Original OG son.
Yeah. Is he still around? Or is he okay? Yeah, it sound like...
Version two. No, he's still around.
Yeah, we gave away, you know. Yeah. Safe haven at the hospital.
Exactly. So she got me a Father's Day gift because I needed a hobby. I was driving myself crazy. So I wanted to brew beer, but then she got me like this crappy cider kit that had like concentrate, like these two cans of concentrate, some random white powders, and then like a jug.
Just like Welch's apple cans, like those freezer cans you just split open. Like
high fructose corn syrup.
Yeah. So then we made it, and it was like in the closet, and we've never had like cider before at that point. Like we've only just had beer and wine and stuff like that. So we tasted it, and it tasted like battery acid. So we're like, this is terrible. Like
we need to get good at this or stop doing this.
Yeah. So we went to the store, and we bought, assorted mix of ciders. And then I made the decision, like, how hard can this be? Like, we live in the Apple State.
Sure.
And then this kind of just started this crazy obsession, I guess, with, like, yeast and apple juice and different apples and stuff like that. And then it was just, like, in our garage of our duplex. And then we just went nuts. And then I came home one day from – I used to work for AT&T. Fuck them.
And you quit for this? Jeez.
Yeah, right?
Man. You could be regional district manager by now.
Yay. The hashtag that I always put up is suck at AT&T. Anyways, hopefully you're not sponsored by them.
No.
And so then we kind of got started on that. And then, it's grown into this crazy business that we're in. So.
And you guys are going on a little over 2 years now, right?
Yeah. So, so officially in distribution, we actually we're with Click Wholesale, who covers a majority of our distribution in Washington, excuse me, and we signed, like, our first shipment went out in, like, Halloween of 2014, so this is, like, literally 2 years in distribution.
And now, you guys created the cidery with the idea to distribute, was that the original intent, or was it just to have, I mean, you didn't want to work at AT&T, so you start making the cider, and I mean, was your long-term goal, or did you just, I mean, because some people create with a tap room just as an accessory. Some people create, you know, to distribute. What was your goal when you first kind of set
I think what ended up happening is, like, we built the life with AT&T, because a lot of people don't know, like, cell phone jockeys get paid, like, really well to, yeah, like, change your plans. So we built this life around working at AT&T. So it's like we had to supplement that income somehow. And it first started as I just need, my wife took off because I wanted her to spend time with my son.
Sure.
And I was
the,
like,
first one, the original.
Exactly. You're the OG. And I was like, how can we just supplement that? And then it's kind of just grown into that. And then it was like, oh, we can make a business of this. And I think partly the way through it, like, Neil and I, we were our days off, we were like taking kegs around town, and we got a few calls from accounts, like reorders and stuff like that. And that's when we kind of knew that it was like, oh,
this is my growing. So why, I mean, so she, were you a beer cider drinker? Was that why the cider kit, or she just thought you, she bought you a beer kit, or what happened?
Yeah. Like that? Yeah. I just, you know, it was a hobby thing. And like we were, it's funny, like, you know, say users don't use, or the sellers don't, the buy, or, you know, whatever it is.
Don't get high on your own supply.
Exactly. Yeah. We're not.
I was in the DARE program.
Yeah, exactly. You're right.
Stoned most of the time. Exactly. I was there.
We're not big drinkers. I think we just, we appreciate good product. And I've always kind of been an entrepreneur. I'm like,
straight up.
Me and Traz have kind of always had these, like, not schemes, but like wheels within wheels type stuff. Like, sure. How can we get, how
it's basically like Keenan and Kel.
Exactly. How can we get ours type of deal? And, you know, I think, as you get older, like, you start realizing, like, life is super short, and it's like, how am I going to make mine? Like, how's it going to fit into my life?
Right.
You know, how is my life going to be better for my kids and stuff like that? So then you have to look at it from like a business aspect, and it's kind of just exploded this way.
So you're not a big drinker?
No. I mean, we'll drink, right?
Sure.
Like, but I'm not, I don't know. It's so weird. Like, I don't drink every day. I do like sips, right? You got to taste the product.
Yeah.
But I'm not like crushing, you know, or
sure.
A full case of right. cans a day or something like that.
Is this guy judging us?
Yeah, I feel like
no, I'm not. Like you guys are what keeps my business going. It's great.
Well, what do you mean you guys?
Part of it is it's like my kids and then the business and stuff like that. Like I have like tax documents I have to fill out and stuff, and I don't want to be like I guess crush. I don't want to take Uber from my, you know, business to
right.
home to go pick up my kids. You know, the daycare day doesn't exactly look, you know, happy upon that. So future life. Future
come
life.
On, kids, get right, it. Yeah. Get it.
Get into the Uber's car. Let's go.
Right. You get out of the Uber. You're like kicking cider cans out of the. So when you guys started, there were. Was there other cideries in town? Was Liberty, Twilight, were those places still, were those around?
This is so
yet?
Funny. So like Liberty just started just as like we were getting going. And, we used to have like this, like there was like this, I guess it's probably the same like Russian United States, we're going to the moon type attitude, like who can get there first.
Sure.
And I think we were both like anteing up like that. And then I think as we both launched, we realized like, wow, we're two different products.
Yeah.
Like we're completely appealing to different people. So like it allowed us to calm down. And I think, you know, they had their own approach and stuff like that. And, you know, I'm a sports guy and I like, you know, competition. And that's what I was at first looking for, I guess. And then it kind of just backed off. And then we have a good friends with Twilight and now with Hierophant. Again,
the meadery.
Exactly.
There's a
yeah.
meadery up mm-hmm. here in North Spokane area. For those of you not in the area.
Yeah. But. We're the great thing is like it's the same thing with all the breweries, right? You can all be in the same business and all exist in the same community because you're all offering different
sure.
stuff.
Yeah.
So, and that kind of goes back to like what your question was about. Like we went completely backwards with like what normal companies do. Normal companies start a tap house and they brew their own beer and they spend years getting this relationship with their customers and then they launch distribution, right? And again, it just went back to like, we need money now. How can I get out of my current career and do it this way? So
yeah, and it worked.
It did.
So yeah. when you go out and start, you know, pimping the product and taking it out there to people, Spokane has a really great base for in the Northwest in general for craft beer. Good love for craft beer. What was the accessibility for cider to slide in there? Because I mean, it is kind of a weird in between. Not to say it's a bad thing, but I mean, you know, it's not, you know, taking it to a winery is kind of off, taking it to a brewery. It's like, where did you find your niche and who was, how accessible was it for you guys? To
sure.
get in?
So like most bars and stuff had like Inger Orchard on tap or they had Woodchuck at the time.
Oh, sure.
And
yeah.
Woodchuck's okay. definitely like receded, especially in the Northwest, just because how many like craft cideries there are.
Sure.
But, you know, we found the niche between, especially with the sweeter ciders, right? Because that's what we are. We consider ourselves a balanced sweet cider. People in like the bars and sports bars and restaurants and stuff like that, when you like you go out with your friends, if you don't like IPA, you don't want to order any like wine, for instance. You don't want to order like a wine glass of wine.
Yeah.
Right? That's like you're putting your pinky up. You're not going to go to like Waddell's and order a glass of wine with like a bunch of dudes.
Can't get
right?
a Chardonnay.
Exactly. Can I get the rosé? Right. Yeah. You know, yeah. In a pint glass, please. you just don't look normal, right? So Cider is that cool kind of in between where you can get a pint of cider, right? It looks like beer most of the time, unless it's, you know, huckleberry or something like
that. Well, even then you can see, I mean, shit, the sours and things like that come out.
Exactly. Yeah,
you
exactly.
got a lot of beers mm-hmm. that are coming in all sorts of colors.
So now. So we're like that comfortable in between. Cider's in this weird, like,
when, it's you like look, when you're not ready to come out of the closet yet.
Exactly.
Like, I'm just going to drink
just
this.
In between.
Right. I don't know what to.
So the product has kind of had that resurgency, I guess, inside some of these accounts. Now that especially accounts are looking to get away from, and I say accounts, I mean like restaurants, bars.
Sure.
They're looking to get away from bigger brands, especially when they can bring in local brands for, they can, not only is it, I mean, it costs them a little bit more, right, than they're going to pay for bigger brands, but they can charge more for it.
Yeah.
So their profit is actually higher. Some places in Spokane, Coeur d'Alene, Post Falls don't actually understand that yet. But having the big guys on tap, wow, that was aggressive.
Yeah.
Trez just
biting.
Exactly.
Cracked open a beer for all the fans.
So that's the thing, just making accounts realize that you can carry craft brands, you're going to make more money no matter what. And people are going to keep coming back. It changes your, crowd that brings into your restaurant.
Yeah. So what's your reach in the area? Are you, in Spokane, what are some of the places people can find you at? And then outside of the area, where are you guys at?
Everywhere. So like store wise, I mean, one of our biggest shout outs that we have, is Yokes. Yokes is always, it was like the very first on board. Those guys know about and care about craft products in their locations. So you can find us in all our locations. Rosar's the same deal. Winco stores now, Trader Joe's, Fred Meyer just picked us up.
These are all bottles.
Is Trader Joe's a local account, or do they send your product to all the Trader Joe's?
So we're authorized now in the regions that we're distributed in. So, but like bars and stuff like that, I mean, obviously it rotates, right? So like you have great accounts like Waddell's, McLean's Pizza, Wisconsin Burger, like you put me on the spot. If you go in Pools Public House, I mean, if you go into normal, like I'd say if they're a local business, they either have us on tap or they've had us on tap and they're in rotation.
Okay.
So we're not going to be at like the, I think the biggest chain that we're at is like, Hop Jacks.
Okay.
Hop
but
Jacks
they do a lot of local stuff. They're really good with that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They're one of those bigger brands that care about local products.
Right.
So, and that's nice to see. But you can find us pretty much anywhere.
That's awesome. That's good. So to kind of walk everyone through the process, the differences between, I don't know how familiar you are with the beer brewing process, but.
Oh, I know.
Okay. So all of our listeners, they're big beer people, or most of them. That's kind of a focus of the show, obviously. Being, the raging alcoholic that you judged us for, which is okay. That's fine. What's some of the differences? I mean, because we got to see the production facility. There's some similarities, but you've just got these giant, like Costco size vats, for the cider or the juice comes back in. So kind of tell us a little bit about that.
So we're technically licensed as a winery. Because what we're doing, just like a winery, we're taking grapes, except we're using apples, right?
Right.
And we're fermenting the wine, right? It's juice. And we're fermenting that. So, our process would be similar in a brewery, except the brewery, they're using heat to extract the sugars from the malt and stuff like that. We don't need heat, except maybe in the end process. Like we do like a dry hop cider, and we use heat to like steep the hops or lemon basil. We use heat to steep the basil.
So you actually do hops into things and things like that.
Oh yeah. Yeah. We just can't add gluten to our products. That's the biggest thing. Obviously celiac disease and stuff like that. That's another reason cider's, kind of exploded.
Things like that.
Made up diseases. No, I'm joking. I mean, there's obviously people go back and forth on stuff like that, but we like to fulfill that niche and whether it's doctor, prescribed or not. So,
yes. Straight up as a server, I've had a lot of like people come in and say, you guys have anything gluten free?
Sure.
I'm like, yep, cider.
Exactly. I think that cider is that great niche again because people want a glass of wine. They want
right.
something that looks like a beer. It's in a beer glass. That type of stuff. So.
Yeah. Well, now how many, again, those big vats you showed us that come, you know, your juice, you go send it out, it gets pressed. How many different fruits are you guys using and how much juice is coming through this place coming back to
sure.
you?
Sure. I mean? So, I mean, every 45 to 60 days, we're doing, you know, a few thousand gallons of juice. And then...
How many apples is that?
It's like 50, 60,000 pounds roughly a month.
God, you're keeping my cousins in work.
Sure.
gracias, my people would say. Muy trabajo.
You know, I would say the good thing about like our juice companies is they're responsible buyers, right? So like there is some things that they stipulate with the people that they buy that they have to like maintain, like good living conditions and stuff like that. So that's a positive. And then everything's used from start to finish, which mm-hmm. is nice. Like the apple must that's left over from the press is then fed to either cows or chickens or to pigs. So they can actually reuse that, or it's back into fertilizer.
Interesting.
So the product's reused, which is nice. But like fruit wise, I mean, it's like in any given year, I mean, we have, just trying to think of, you know, 10 or 15 different fruits that we'll end up using sure. throughout the year, for whether it's seasonal or like our base or, you know, stuff like that. But apples, everything starts with the apple base.
Is that so? All the ciders have an apple base?
100% all the way through.
So what, we're going to try some of the ciders here in a little bit, but what, I mean, what are some of the other flavors that you guys do or have done, or fruits that you, sure. some main fruits you've used?
So like lemon basil is one of our most popular. We're adding, you know, fresh lemons from Arizona. Lemon puree into that to make that product. That's why it's, you know, a little bit cloudy and nice. Huckleberries, obviously from North Idaho or into Canada, just depending on what you know buyer. We use ginger. We have blackberry right now in the cooler. Apricot. I mean, yeah, everything.
Out there.
Yeah, I think anything that we can throw on the cider that makes it unique and interesting, then it's like, yeah.
So. All right. Now you guys have some growth coming up here. What are we able to talk about the new location?
Yeah. So we hope and planning on opening Kennel Yards in April of 2017, or like springtime. I'll say springtime of 2017, which will be like a cider house where we'll have, you know, 20 to 25 taps of cider and then a few local beer taps, which would be nice. People can come down, bring your dog, hang out on the patio, look over the river, super relaxed, chill area in Kennel Yard. So we're pretty excited about that, because then we can, you know, we can have 100+ people come and hang out. We have live yeah. music. We'll have a little restaurant inside. So it'll be a cool spot.
Okay, nice.
Yeah, thank you for that, by the way. Kennel Yards definitely needs a good spot to go drink.
Yeah, Kennel Yards doesn't have like a bar yet. So it's that's the one thing it's kind of lacking, I guess, in that sense. So. We're pretty excited to be the, I guess, the first. So.
And I think it's super cool that you are confident and you're coming in as kind of a cidery, and you're carrying other people's ciders.
Yeah, you know what? We spend a lot of time in Seattle and Portland with our business and stuff like that. And Spokane lacks something called culture. And Spokane is almost like fighting it, it would seem. But I think, you know, with all the new businesses that are going in with that are local oriented, I think that things are starting to really pick up, you know, where that focus is on local and that we can bring in some, like the comedy club downtown. Like,
oh yeah.
5 years ago, like you would never have like a national, like comedy club, like where you have like big stars
headliners
and stuff. Headliners,
like
exactly.
Mark coming, Maron and things like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Coming
to Spokane. Like, this doesn't happen.
Nick Swartzen.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. Steve-O.
Steve-O.
Here at the end of the month.
Yeah. So just crazy stuff like that. So, yeah.
Which, by the way, shameless plug, if you're listening to this, as it comes out on Wednesday, don't miss Sunday. This Sunday, the October 9th at 8 p.m., the Drink and Debate. I will be co-hosting with Nick Cavassier, the Drink and Debate. We've got a couple great judges for you and great teams of comedians. So remember to hit that up. Maybe we can get your cider on tap there for you. Yeah, sure. Now, how many ciders do you guys, how many recipes do you have? Do you have like X amount of staples that are always on tap? Then other ones you're moving through, you know,
yeah, so
special release stuff?
What we try to do is always have like four or five like core products. And then we have seasonal rotations inside that. So, like next year, we're planning on 5 core products and then 3 or 4, maybe 5 seasonals.
Okay.
So, it just really depends on, So what we end up doing, you met Neil earlier. I come up with the recipes, and then Neil's the numbers guy. So either he either crushes my dreams or makes my dreams reality, because I'll make the rest. I make everything, right? So everything that you guys see.
Sounds like my parents.
Exactly, right? So either
sounds like my parents are a hooker.
One of the two. It's like Hall & Oates. Yeah. Make my dreams come true.
So it's like I make the product, and he's like, if we can't. He's like, that'll be like $20 on the shelf. I'm like, well, put it on.
Yeah,
let's
do it.
And then, you know, obviously we have to figure that out, because we want it to move. We want it to be accessible.
What's
cider for everybody?
What's something you came up with that just wasn't feasible? What was like your grandest cider that just didn't? There was just no way, you know.
Probably, I haven't heard a lot of people with this. We did a summer series. We did a bunch of summer series ciders, and it was blood orange, because orange prices. I don't know if you guys remember. It's Eddie Murphy movie with Dan Aykroyd. They like trade places with
trading
them.
Places.
Trading places, yeah.
one where they trade places. Yeah, they're in places that are in opposite places.
In the movie, like they're always trading like orange juice concentrate and pork bellies or something like that.
Right.
It's because orange prices and pork prices are nuts if you follow like commodities, and unless you buy at the right point, man, like. That product is not happening.
Really?
Unless like we use flavorings, and that's like, we don't do that.
Okay. So, yeah, because you said everything you use is pure. For your, you don't use any artificial.
We're not using any extract or any artificial flavors. That was our, like, again, it kind of goes back to the original homage. Like when we my wife bought cider at the store and stuff like that, we're like looking at the back of the can, and it's like caramel coloring and artificial flavoring, sure. And natural flavoring, quote unquote, right?
Right.
So it's like.
And
it's,
natural flavor and other flavors.
Yeah, exactly, right? Yeah.
Okay.
So, like, and we know the game, like we see the FDA, like how you have to like list your product, right? So we're pretty aware of now how like people package products, and you know when shit's fake. So.
Well, I love when they're like, it's the one to say natural flavor, artificial flavor, and other flavors. You're like, ooh. What are the other exactly. fucking flavors?
Yeah, right.
Like, what is this something you found on like, you know, Middle Earth?
As Trez is looking at our can. Yeah. See, we're too small yet to like have to list that. So you'll just have to go by our word.
Yeah.
I trust you.
Yeah.
Also,
what ends up happening, like a lot of people like email us and they're like, you know, there's no like caloric intake or anything like that on here. That stuff is so damn expensive to like run for a company
to
do it.
And everything,
exactly.
Yeah.
Especially for alcohol that like, once you reach a certain gallon amount, then like they force you to, but we're not in that, so we're good.
Are you guys close, or like what's the, how big is that?
Oh, we have a long ways to go.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Cause I don't think many beer companies have to list it. Do they?
No.
It's like,
no, we all fall underneath the same thing. It's like, I want to say it's like 250,000 liters a year.
It's a lot.
If I'm not mistaken to put that on.
Right.
So it's a lot.
It's like Coca-Cola does, but
exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Those guys, any of the big beer brands, you'll see it. And some states like require it, like California, they require it no matter how big you are. So you just have to do it.
Huh. Yeah. California sucks that way. So what are some, so when you come up with a recipe, how do you go about that?
So
like, what's your
like to toot my own horn and say, I have a good palate. Again, this is like why I think we're different than most cider companies. Most cider companies just do straight apple. Right. It's like, this one was aged fermented for 2 years. This one was like for 6 months. Right.
So it's just the aging process that changes the flavor.
Exactly. There's subtle differences or whether, you know, what they're stored in or stuff like that. Whereas like, we're like, okay, like how can I make this interesting? How can I make, like lemon basil? Like I never thought lemon basil would be like the number one bestseller across everywhere, but it's people like go crazy for it.
Kill for it, huh?
Yeah. Like we cause riots at like events if we run out and stuff like
that. Wow.
So
nice.
It's pretty fun.
Let's see.
Has there been any fatalities? Has one tree cider killed anybody?
No.
Don't talk about that.
Per our attorney, no.
Elderly Jewish man in the corner is shaking his head no. He's holding up a sign that says don't answer that. So hold on, I'm gonna crack one of these if we don't mind.
Sure.
Here. Do you want to hold on to that for me, so I can. Because that's pretty delicious. Then we're gonna take a break here in a second.
These are 6.8% by the way. They're kind of starting to warm my belly a little bit.
I haven't eaten much today, so
you're set then.
Yeah, but it is my birthday, so I'm celebrating.
Happy birthday!
Thank you.
Happy birthday!
Yeah. So maybe perhaps this is too soon. You're not authorized to talk about this, but I was at Bellwether the other day talking to Thomas, and he mentioned a possible collaboration between the two of you guys.
I hope he listens to this. So I was like, yeah, let's do a collab, man. And our lives on our side are a little bit crazy.
Sure.
Obviously, between kids and the business side and stuff.
He just
like
had
that.
A kid too.
I know. I shouldn't have an excuse.
I'm just saying it's doubled now because exactly. You guys both have kids. Kids are assholes.
Yeah, exactly.
So they fuck lives up. They fuck lives up.
So you know he's great. We would love to sit down and do one. Obviously, fall's perfect time for it.
Sure.
Because then we could do something, especially with them. They're in that like old world beer style, right?
Yeah.
That like even like botanical side of it, which is just super neat. So we're excited to play around with that and like do something. Like I feel like we can't offer as much as they do because they have beer is so crazy and like the fermentation,
right?
What you can like put into it and what you can offer. Whereas like we're like I got an apple cider, like you know I you know we can mix something up or something.
Yeah,
like that. But yeah.
Well, so. It's interesting because you know we were talking about it and I was telling them about how we were going to come do this. And they've you know we've done a podcast with them before, and you know because of the wine beer thing, he said probably have to do it at his place because they can't brew, they can't make wine, but you guys can make, you know, go there just because of. But so, oh
Jesus,
oh no,
uh-oh.
We spilt.
Hold on. This is probably a good time for a message from our sponsors. We'll take a quick break and be right back.
Hey, I'm that Andrew guy you were told about. Pants Pending Studios? Geek of all trades? Wait, no one told you to expect me? Ah, well, shit, I told them to tell you I was coming. No, well, let's get down to business. I came to present to you the best geek interview show ever! The Dracarium's Geek of all trades podcast sits down with various geeks around the world, exposing their dark secrets and rummaging through their drawers. Oh, wait, I wasn't supposed to tell you that part. Anyway, it's a fun show where I sit down with a geek, whether they realize they're a geek or not, and ask them all kinds of questions. No matter how hard we try, we can't seem to stop being funny. So come over, give us a listen. Find us at celebrategeek.com/GOAT. Yes, GOAT. It's an acronym, get it? Hey, wait, why are you turning the music up? I wasn't finished. No!
Week in Deece Nuts. After 12 years of partnership and 2 years of marriage, the Hollywood couple Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie are getting a divorce. This news comes just days after reports of Pitt's substance abuse and verbal abuse of the children. According to sources, the last straw for Jolie was on a recent flight when Pitt hit one of the children. But to be fair to Mr. Pitt, it's rumored that his son was caught talking about Fight Club. And that's this week in Deece Nuts.
Hey, did what's your name get at you yesterday? These nuts.
All right, and we are back, everyone. So, any ideas, thoughts for the Bellwether collaboration? I mean, would it be something like a beer that's apple based or uses your juice?
I think what we're going to end up probably going for, at least my idea that I had kind of in the back of my head, was that we can service some type of like apple butter or some type of a super strong apple flavor. Like the idea of graft got kicked around, which like graft is like I don't even know if it's like a, if it's like a medieval or a mythical, I think it's a mythical thing. Again, I don't know much about, you know, beer history, but
yeah.
I think it's a mythical beer where it's like beer and cider mixed together.
Interesting.
It's called Graf. So
right.
Again, I don't
you
know.
You guys gonna make that? Make it real? Make it a reality?
Yeah. You sure? Yeah.
All right. Why
not? Thank you.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Well, there are some of those beers out
there's
there
just some crazy laws that like that's the problem I would say in America right now is that we're all like in this world of like 1900 laws.
Sure.
Right? So like we're still like. A brewery can't have a brewery can have wine in it, but a winery can't have like beer stuff instead of beer ingredients. So
it's so funny, and it varies state to state too. For people who listen to the podcast or follow the brewery ones especially, they've probably heard me say this before, but I go to Missoula, Montana quite often, and usually when I do, I take the time to sit with a brewery in Missoula, just because when I travel, I always take the podcast with me just to do it. And in Montana, the laws are so different.
Montana's crazy.
They can
in a good way though.
They
know how to party like we
like their gas stations are convenience stores, liquor stores, casino, strip club. Yeah. Boom. Nailed it.
Well, their brewery laws, they make it so you can only have like they can only serve you something like 3 pints in a day. So, and then they have to be closed at 8 p.m.
Yeah.
So you can have like you can go to a brewery, you can have 3 pints, and then 8 p.m. they kick you out. You can go to the bar next door and drink unlimited until 2 a.m. It just doesn't fucking make sense.
And then get it to go.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Depending on where you're at, maybe.
Drive one on the ride home. I heard exactly. That was a thing in Montana. I think they got rid of that, though. Did fortunately,
they?
Yeah.
There used
and
to
they
be.
Got rid of like the unlimited speed limit, too. We were just
I lived in Montana during both those times. You could drink and drive. You just couldn't be drunk while you were driving. So, I mean, obviously that was illegal. But if you had like one beer in you and you know, they're going to pull you over. But if you blow below 0.09, like you keep driving, man, you're good.
You keep your beer.
Like, yeah.
So even if you're driving.
Can't pour it out, give back.
Right. Exactly. You can drive like 100 miles an hour with a beer in your hand in Montana at a certain time. Yeah, they had to ditch out a limited
I think that was the only state that actually cared anymore about like population control, clearly, because they were like, screw it, people,
just
go
it. Yeah. Yeah, whatever's prudent. They had to finally ditch the unlimited speed limit because federal government just said.
No, that's right. They threatened them for the highway
they're
money.
They're like, we're not going to give you money anymore. You need a fucking speed limit.
Ah, yeah. Good old corporate fascism. Yeah, right. We print the money, we make the rules.
Yeah, right, exactly. Fuckers. So, and that's what happened. All right. Traz, you got it? Yeah. Any questions for Grant here? Anything before we get into the tasting?
Honestly, I just want to get in this tasting.
All right. Sure. Well, let's do it. Where do we sort
of? So I would suggest starting with lemon basil. Obviously, this is the
what's left.
What's left of it.
Sorry, we'll pass it around.
You guys can share. Obviously, they were for you. I can get you more clearly.
I'll share. I'll share with Chaz here.
You just owe me one in the future. Thank you, buddy.
Yeah, you're welcome.
So definitely has a basil-y nose to it. Little, a citrusy nose too.
Yeah, it's pretty breathtaking.
Definitely a lemony. That's a summer beer right there. Yeah. That's a lawnmower beer.
Just give this to your wife or your girlfriend. Or done deal.
Panty dropper.
It's delicious.
Yeah, that's incredible. Honestly, that's like
and
the
people,
perfect.
People get weirded out. Like they see lemon basil, they're like, I don't know about basil, and they think of like eating a pizza or something like that. But we use Thai basil, and that's the biggest change, I guess.
That's
so again, it just goes back to culinary background and stuff like that.
Yeah,
understanding how flavors go together. So
that is a good mix. So what inspired you to do lemon basil with the apple base? Then I mean, was it just
we wanted to do something different? At the time, we were doing ginger lemon, which we had leftover lemon. And we're like, well, what can we do with it? And then so we did like lemon basil, lemon strawberry. God, we did a bunch. Yeah, blueberry, lemon, blueberry. I mean, we kind of went through the gamut of it because actually lemons are not that expensive, which is kind of great. So in the citrus world, they're not that expensive comparative. So, and then we just basil ended up working out. I just know lemon and basil, they work really
just
well.
Just makes
together.
Sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
that was really nice to me. It kind of tasted like different than a normal cider that you would try. Definitely
exactly.
Way different than a beer. It kind of tastes like its own, like kind of hard lemonade sort of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It kind of pulls from it. And that basil helps break up that, the sweetness inside of it. It makes it balanced, I guess. Mm-hmm. I think it was just because like we did like the lemonade. It was good, but it's not different enough, right? We're not Mike's. So.
Yeah.
Right.
So what do we got next?
So the very next one is our huckleberry cider. Again,
all right.
Everything starts with apple, right? Everything's apple wine, then we always add to it. So nice berry explosion is basically what you're going to get from that. It's unctuous.
Oh, yeah.
So like all these two, this is another thing I'll say about like ciders. A lot of people are like freaked out about like mixing cider. Uh, like like especially at bars and stuff like that, like these are perfect cocktail ciders.
Sure.
Like you like gin, you like vodka, you like, you know, whatever, just throw it in there, mix it up, put some ice and put a, you know, umbrella on top of
like
it.
Like a sangria type thing.
Exactly. Or? That's what this, this is what Huckleberry, like I wanted a sangria cider. And this is like the closest that we came to it.
Definitely. Now, when you guys keg it, is it, it's carbonated when it's kegged, right?
Yeah, we carbonate, I would say, like a beer does.
Have you experimented with doing anything with nitro?
Yeah, so like nitro has to be done. I shouldn't say has to be done, but it's usually done at the at the locations, at like the bars and stuff like that.
Okay.
And they throw, they have like a nitro regulator and they obviously put it on. One of the ciders that you end up taking, like this has been on Schilling Cider House, plug to them, in Seattle, in the Fremont area, is really big about nitro ciders.
Okay.
So they, what they do is they test a lot of the ciders. Usually though, since ciders lack protein, they can't get like a good head to them. They don't have that foaminess to it. Some ciders, if they're fuller body, like our caramel cinnamon or huckleberry, they have a little bit better foam retention, and then yeah, they last longer.
Okay.
I would say about the cider and nitro, you could, it's tough to do it in a large glass like a pint. It's just not gonna, it's gonna foam out too quick.
Okay. You'll lose that. I mean, does it help, does it give the any richness or kind of creaminess
to
the,
it adds that body that that sometimes that creaminess I guess that you did, that's the word I guess I would use. Okay. For it, so right. Especially in the cider world, it lightens it up a little bit,
yeah,
which is nice. So and then the next is the,
by the way, this seems like it would pair really, really well with food.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the other thing too, is like, obviously we're just drinking here, but, food, especially spicy food and cider is like synonymous. It's like perfect.
Okay.
Cause it's, you know, sweeter on the side, it's lighter. So anything that's like, I have a hard time like drinking like a heavy body, super IPA,
sure,
you know, hoppy beer, with like, you know, some different foods, but I think cider has that awesome, you know, pairing between everything. So.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It's kind of like, you know, like we were talking about earlier, that blend between wine and beer. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
It's that perfect combination. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So the next cloudy one is caramel cinnamon.
Caramel
cinnamon is, it's the perfect ode to the season right now, obviously with it being rainy and cold and wintry outside, but it's an all around flavor. So
it has definitely a lot of cinnamon in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now you guys use, I assume natural, actual cinnamon in there.
So we don't use, obviously, there's here comes my Alton Brown enemy. There is real cinnamon, right? Which is I'm forgetting its true chemical name, but it is very hard with people who have like medications and stuff like that. It doesn't react very well. So what we use is Saigon cinnamon, which is typical. It's 99.9% of everybody's kitchens.
Okay,
that's what we end up using because it doesn't have the effects that
I see.
The FDA doesn't like us using true real cinnamon.
Okay,
so. That's
it's a little easier workaround for you.
Exactly. Yeah. So we use the typical, what everybody else would use. I'm getting probably too much information.
Saigon cinnamon.
Exactly. Right.
Sounds like what somebody in the Vietnam War got hooked on.
I think
so. Is Saigon cinnamon. Is that a real cinnamon or is it something that's similar?
So it's a bark from a tree, just like the real cinnamon is. It's just from a different tree. It's a different type of tree. So then it pulls from it. They're all in the same family, but they're, I mean, there's like 30 different types of cinnamons out there.
Okay.
So, but the true cinnamon is like crazy spicy. It's super potent. So, and again, I after tasting it, I could get why like people could have an issue with it. So I think it's probably what, you know, most of these like crazy extracts are used for, like if you have like hot tamales or something like that, right? They have that super spicy cinnamon.
Okay. Yeah.
So I don't know if it's an extract of that, but yeah, the true cinnamon is super floral. That's a good word for it.
Okay.
So. Fulfilling.
It definitely has a cinnamon hit to it, but very, very refreshing. Is this something you make year-round?
Yeah, year-round. All the ciders you're having right now are all year-round.
Okay.
Which is pretty exciting. And then the last is obviously the crisp apple. It's what we have in our cans.
What we've been drinking.
Exactly. What we've been drinking. It's the easy drinker, right, of the crowd. We did this to, because it was funny, like we got through all of our portfolio and we're like, we don't even have just apple anymore. Like that's what cider is. So then we came up with crisp apple, which again was kind of a bastardized version of the two original recipes. And I think we hit it on the head. So
did you guys do a sour apple ever?
Yeah. Well, I mean,
like
we did
a tart.
We did Granny Smith apple, which was like really tart. It would I remember when my brother first tried it, it like made his like dimples come out and I was like, wow. And it was pretty sour.
Okay.
So then this is kind of that married version.
A little bit in between.
Because the semi-sweet was just super sweet.
Yeah.
It was just typical American sweet cider. And then we did this, which is that perfect sweet and sour kind of mix in between.
Do you have any other recipes coming out for fall?
So we have like pumpkin right now. I should have grabbed a bottle of that. Pumpkin's pretty great. It's probably
not too late.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Neil. So we have pumpkin coming out. That'll kind of complete the season. We might do some, like, we're
is
doing.
It, is it pumpkin spice?
So, yeah. I mean, usually, all the typical nutmeg, star anise, all that good stuff, cinnamon. And then we're actually adding, so a lot of companies just add just pumpkin spice. And they call it good.
Right.
Except we're like, no, we want roasted pumpkin. So then we add roasted pumpkin to it. So there's like a squashiness to it.
Okay.
Which is pretty interesting.
A little more depth in it. Than
yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's like caramel cinnamon, but just different, right? Except delicious pumpkiny. I personally hate pumpkin.
Yeah.
I don't like the season. I think it's overdone. Except our distribution company basically like holds a gun to our
They want
like,
one.
Do it.
We need something.
No, they're great. It's just a big seller, right? Everybody loves it. And it keeps coming earlier and earlier and earlier. It's just like Christmas right now in stores. So
yeah.
Everybody, it's like we have pumpkin stuff in stores in August now. So it's like,
yeah. They need it. They want it.
Yeah. There is a massive people that, you know, they're sitting in their recliners at home watching just static on the TV and the right. Pumpkin season. And then it's roll out, right? That's what ends up happening.
So give us a couple more. So what's the long-term goal with you guys? Let's go that route. You guys
sell out to corporate America.
All right. The Budweiser buyout. I mean, you got a new location in Kendall Yards coming. You've got the brewery here, which is kind of the tap house here will go away at your current location. I mean, is it in distribution, obviously, but I mean, do you want multiple locations? Do you want to be in other cities, other states?
I mean, obviously, as we're kind of growing in distribution throughout the United States, which is kind of at least the West Coast, which is really exciting. Obviously growing that culture into other cities that we're in, like in distribution, I'd love to open up a cider house in every single city like that we're in distribution in. I look at it and like there's bars and there's breweries. They're already doing it. Right.
Sure.
So the crowd is clearly there. It's just about tapping into that. I think the biggest thing for us, like for me, is culture. Right. I think the reason why I left corporate America is because the culture sucked. They don't care about their employees.
Yeah.
It's not even, I think we get so caught up on like this $15 an hour idea, right? It's like everyone kind of like takes that idea and they're like, that's what I'm worth. And I'm like, that's crazy. Like what it should be about, like, I'm going to care for my employees and I'm going to take care of them, whether it's pay or, you know, something in that world. So that's my biggest goal is to build a culture around our company that is different for people who used to work or who've been in that workforce and have never had like that, that experience it, I guess. That's my biggest goal. It's like you can be a big company and still give a shit about your workers. You don't have to like lose faith in everybody. Like, man, everyone's gonna screw me.
It's more fun if you don't, though. Like, fuck those guys.
Yeah. Sure.
I screwed you.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I guess.
Get on your top hat and a monocle and just
sure.
Christmas isn't coming.
Exactly. No. I just, that's Neil and I's biggest goal. We take care of our employees now. We have like six or seven people that work for us.
Sure.
Now. That's funny. I'm like, I'm going to take care of my own. I don't even know how many employees
we've got. A couple of fucking people. I don't know.
It's tough because like we have like event people and then you have like regular employees. So, but yeah, they're better paid than anybody in the industry by far, especially locally. So, that's what we like to say.
Very good. All right.
And everybody's paid over 15 because we care.
All right. There you go. We care. Pay over 15. Do you have to? What's the minimum wage now?
I think it's like
10 bucks.
It's like 927, something like that. Yeah. And if you're paying 927, you're a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Sorry. No one can live on that.
That, well, you know.
No, you can't. You can't.
Well, I don't know. I
food stamps.
I wrote this
comment. Traz is just shaking his head. Don't go there.
I wrote this comment.
He's this 927.
Deese doesn't even pay me. Shit.
I wrote this comedy article a while back about like 10 ways to know you've made it. And one of them was, one of the first ones I was like, not knowing what the minimum wage is.
Sure.
Like I don't fucking know what the minimum wage is. Like, I have no idea. I don't want to know. Because no one should want to know what the minimum wage is. You know, everyone should be working to be above the minimum wage.
Well, I think what ends up happening is, and I think Traz is doing this right now a little bit. You have to figure out. So, again, we're talking brewery, and now I'm going to get into my
That's all right.
skin. But that school is so, like, just pounding into people's head. Like, you go to your four-year college, you have kids, you have this career, you work 25 years, then you retire, your life's over.
Sure.
And I think what ends up happening in people's heads, they get so, like, stigmatized like that, and then they get out in the real world, and it just falls apart. I think what you have to do, and, like, that's what we're hoping to show our employees, is that you have to decide what you want. Do I want the $1 million house and you know, have my weekends off and ride jet skis?
Yes.
Like, okay. So then you have to do this crazy, you know, career to get there. Or do I want to have a simpler life and I don't have to have the $1 million house, or I don't have to have the jet skis or something like that. Right. It's okay to like, say like, I want to work retail the rest of my life. That's fine. But I think you just have to decide like, what do I want? And then if you don't have it, you can't bitch about it because you're not doing it.
Right.
You can't just say like, that guy driving a $100,000 car, he's an asshole. Like, that's not cool.
Well, it's funny because years ago,
either he's up to dead in his eyeballs, like he's about to blow his brains out, or he's busted his ass to get that.
Or both.
Or both. Maybe. Yes, or both. It's a very good point. I can't take it anymore.
He's going to blow his brains out in that $1 million car.
Exactly. No one's getting this car back.
Right.
Sexiest suicide. Right.
Losing the deposit on that lease. Right, yeah. Yeah, well, it's funny because years ago, it used to be like, oh, look at Mr. Moneybags and he, or, you know, Mr. Guy up the hill and had his nice Mercedes, and everyone looked up to me like, oh, you can work hard and be like that. Now it's like, oh, fuck that guy.
Yeah.
You know, it's such a different mentality.
I just think like with us, it's like, I don't think a lot of people understand like what some business owners do like to get started. Like we started with American Express and Capital One.
Sure.
And like, you know, an empty wallet and lottery tickets. Like, that's how we got started. Like, there's plenty of sleepless nights where, you know, and I think everybody's kind of going through that, at least in Spokane, like within the brewery scene, everyone's busting their ass to try to just better themselves and better their lives.
Yeah.
So that's in a roundabout way of saying like, you know, what do we hope to do with One Trees? You know, better the community and better ourselves. So.
Well, and part of it too is if you can do something you enjoy. I mean, it's cliche and sounds cheesy, but if you can do something you enjoy actually for a career, it's sustainable and makes money. That's that right there. It says a lot. So
yeah, be who you are. Like I've always had the issues like trying out. I think everybody does, right? Trying to figure out who the fuck you are. And I think now I finally, it's finally clicked, right?
Yeah.
Like, I am who I am, and I run One Tree, and this is what I do. This is who I am. So
I feel like this just turned into an after-school special.
Did.
It's like inspirational, like that more, you know.
Well, I feel like there's no voices out there that are going into schools and saying, like, you kids aren't special to anybody. I want you guys to know that. Like you don't deserve trophies. You don't.
Oh, right.
Like, please God, like, pay attention now because you're going to leave high school now, you know, in a year or whatever, and you're gonna be like, you're gonna feel like a fucking failure,
right?
Like you run into these people, and I've become non-judging in that sense, where it's like, I've just been able to realize like, you are because you have what you want, and you can't, and I guess if you're jealous about it, then the other people's success or whatever, then that's your own chagrin.
Yeah.
Can I just chime in a little bit? Because that's the advice of, you know, just like do whatever makes you happy, like follow your passions kind of thing. I just want to say that I feel like that's kind of bullshit. Because
really?
Because I kind of went through this with somebody, you know, they're like, okay, well, just like tell me what you really, really like to do, you know, and I ran through the whole gamut of things that I love. They're like, well, those are all leisure activities. You can't do that for a living. And I'm like, what?
Well, that's different because it's like.
So you gotta find that balance of like.
You do have to find
that. You can't be a professional kayaker.
No. Right, exactly. Yeah. Sunbather, nope. Not an option.
It goes back to like that life with like AT&T. It's like what you've built, right? So if you've built that life and then all of a sudden you're like, ah, fuck it. Like, I don't want to do this anymore. Then sometimes it can kind of like. there's going to be some, there's rough edges, I guess.
Yeah.
But I think if you go into it, like at the high school age, where you tell these kids, like, listen, this is, you know, let's go for it this way.
Yeah. Well, it is. People need to be prepared to work really fucking hard than die. I think that's
true.
Basically, you know, be willing to work for what you want, because especially now with the, you know, advent of the internet and so many other things, people have access to things they never had 10, 20 years ago. And like you, and almost anyone has the ability to get out there and meet people and network and do almost anything. You have access to so many things. The only thing that people don't have access to maybe is money that other people have. But you need to be able to, or be willing to go apply what you want to do, work your ass off, and actually grind at it. Cause there's like you said, there's like 10 other people wanting to open a brewery or cidery this year. So everyone,
like you said, it's cliche to say, but like, do what you want to do.
Yeah.
Or figure out how to do it. Right.
Sure.
Like in the beginning, I didn't have any of the money. Like my dad helped me, and then, you know, Capital One and American Express, right. We all kind of just pitched it and did it.
Yeah.
We just found an ends to a means, right? To change that. So,
well, I had BJ Garvey, the general manager of Ten Pin Brewing in Moses Lake, when I was there and was talking to him. This was after we did our interview. We were off the mic and we were talking for a while. And he goes, "So how does this all come together? Comedy, podcast, beer, you know?
What's the end game?
How does it relate?
What's the end game?"
And he's like, "How does it relate?" And everything. I go, "Well, I like comedy. I like beer, and I like traveling and talking to people. So I found a way to do it all at once."
Sure.
You know, and
it's a perfect blend.
You know, it's just, it's a great format. It's fun to meet new people. I get to try, you know, travel different areas at times. You try new ciders, new beers, you know,
I just feel the life of you picking someone picking a company and going, yeah, I'm going to be here for 40 years. I'm going to be super happy. Is non-existent.
Oh no!
Like, it doesn't exist. Like how many jobs have you had? How many jobs have you
exactly,
had?
Right? Yeah.
Like you start asking that question. But anybody who's, you know, who that is above 60, right? They live in this magical world where things were great, right? And you know,
yeah,
you've got one job and everyone's happy. And
well, yeah, I've been with AT&T since 1947.
Right.
They've treated me so well. Exactly.
Yeah. And it doesn't exist anymore. And they, like, you know, obviously have bad years or whatever with the company, but that doesn't exist anymore.
Right.
And I think as you start seeing that, you start seeing companies like us pop up, because it's like, you know, how am I going to take care of myself? So,
well, yeah, I mean, I look at my daddy. My dad had the same job for as long as I was alive, and even before I was alive. So, I mean, 30, he just retired last year, but I mean, probably close to 40 years, he had the same job, one job. And, you know, it's like it used to be, you know. Dad works at the factory. He goes in. He punches his time card. He stamps out rear fenders for Ford for 10 hours a day, and he comes home. And now, yeah, I mean, how many jobs, like you said, of all have we had? I mean, I've had
20. I mean, you go through the list, right. You're like, Jesus. Like,
I don't know how many careers, but I've had jobs, you know, and that's the way it is.
Like, you ask a lot of people, you're like, oh, is this a career? And they're like, no, it's a job.
Yeah,
you hear that a lot, and I guess that, again, it goes back to that's what I'm trying to change with our employees. Like, please, like, if it's a job, cool, like, make it a job.
Right.
Like, I don't want you to be stressed out about like life and stuff like that. Like, but if you want to make it a career, like we'll do our best to make your life a great too. But we just have to know that either side's okay, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, where I put all this training into you, I can just hear like old bosses. I'm like, peeks out.
I dedicated my life to cidery.
Yeah, we're closing the cidery and opening a Walmart here. So how are you greeting people
right.
wearing blue vests? All right. Good. Well, you know, that's a positive note to go out on, I feel like. So that's good. So give us a quick rundown just as we go. Where can people not find your cider or you specifically, but Facebook, Twitter, social media?
Facebook,
where do
Twitter,
they find
Instagram.
You guys?
You guys can hit us up. I love like the 2, 3 a.m. messages of like just randomness that our customers, our fans send us, which is fun. Untapped.com is obviously a good rating website for beers and ciders.
Okay.
You can find us anywhere in that
what world. Are your handles on Facebook, Twitter, those things?
So Facebook is just One Tree Hard Cider. On Twitter it is one tree. Well, no, it can't be One Tree. One Tree Cider on Twitter and Instagram, I believe, is One Tree Hard Cider.
Okay, there you go. So find them, follow them, like them, follow their Facebook page, get updates about what new is coming out. Keep an eye out for their new location coming to Kendall Yards this spring. If you're in the Spokane area, come visit them. And also find them all over the Northwest in cans and bottles. So
find us in basically any local brand store.
There you go. All right. Okay.
And if your bar doesn't have them, scream for it.
Yeah, ask
doesn't
for
have it.
It
on tap. So.
That's a good point. Ask for it because bars will listen to their.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
You know, if you want some, ask for it, and bars will find a way to get it there. Yep. So. All
perfect.
Right.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Well, for the Social Hour, I am Deason. For Traz.
Thank you very much.
And Grant.
Thanks.
All right.
And now for my weekly apologies. I'd like to apologize to children, people who haven't come out of the closet, migrant workers, celiac disease, Vietnam vets on drugs, Monica, and Walmart greeters. Thanks for listening, guys, and we will see you next week.
And kids are assholes. Yeah.
This podcast is a Pants Pending Studios production.
And part of the Pants Pending Studios Podcast Network.
Find more of our great shows just by searching Pants Pending in your podcatcher.
For more information or to contact us directly, visit us at pantspending.com.
Please subscribe to this show, share it with your friends, like it on Facebook, and rate it on iTunes.
And we thank you for making us a part of your listening day.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending. Studios!